I'd like to call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. You all please rise and join me in saluting.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have a roll call, please?
Leva, here. Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Connery?
Here.
Higgins?
Here.
Thompson?
Here.
We have our minutes of the meeting of December 30th and the reorg of January 7th.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on either of those minutes?
I can't second the first one.
Okay. So you'll abstain on that one?
It's January 7th.
Yeah, and I have to do the same. Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And Mr. Thompson and I will abstain on the 7th. Okay, at this point we'll come to the mayor's year-end message. As 2014 begins, it's time to review our 2013. Changes we had included the appointing of Finelli Engineer as our municipal engineer and Van Cleef Engineering as our sewer engineer. Our former councilman, Justin Jewell, got married and started a new chapter of his life by resigning from council and moving to another community. Councilman Jewell's position has been filled by Councilman Paul Jones, who we have all welcomed previously. Some of the accomplishments that we've had for the year include the paving of some of our roads. It's the first time in about 5 years that we've paved any roads. You know, that's significant not only because we paved roads, because we had the money to do it. That's something that we've been striving for a while. We reauthorized our entrance into sustainable New Jersey, and we formed a green team, and that will help us reduce our energy usage and produce some other efficiencies. We also were able to bring about a 2-cent decrease in our tax rate this past year. We've purchased a new generator that will power the entire municipal building should we have another superstorm come through that knocks out power for weeks on end. Hasn't been installed just yet, but when is that going to be installed?
Scheduled? In the summertime.
In the summertime.
We just received word that we received the grant.
Okay. So that's going forward. We sold a parking lot on the west end of town that will help some redevelopment that would be down by the old St. Cloud Hotel. And it's the one that's behind the Krauser, so that's going to be bringing some new development into our town on the end of that really needs it. And also, our pool turned a profit for the first time in God knows how long. I can't remember the last time I saw a profit from our pool. For the coming year, we'll be looking at paving some more roads, you know, provided we can keep heat in the building, which we've been having a problem with. We'll be improving our library, continuing to lower our debt, and ensuring that Washington Borough is the great place to live that it can be. That is the mayor's message.
Thank you.
Next, we have a proclamation. This is for human trafficking, and I understand there are a group of people here for that. Come on up. Anyone, why don't you join me on this? Deputy Mayor Gleba was instrumental in getting this done, so that's why I asked her to step forward with us. Would you folks like to give your names for the record?
Yes.
I'm Mark Jones.
My name is
Kim Beckham. And I'm Luke
Gleba. And this is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington. Whereas human trafficking is a borderless crime against individuals that violates the most basic human rights and deprives victims of every shred of personal freedom. And whereas human trafficking occurs when a person is recruited, harbored, obtained, or exported through force, fraud, or coercion for other purposes of sexual or labor exploitation, involuntary servitude, and other types of mental and physical abuse, and whereas human traffickers target impoverished and marginalized children, women, and men, isolating them from society and supportive networks and exploiting them for personal and monetary gain,
And whereas human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world today and is tied with arms smuggling as the second largest international criminal industry, falling only behind illicit drug trade. And whereas the United Nations International Labor Organization has estimated that at least 12.3 million adults and children worldwide are currently in forced labor, bonded labor, or forced prostitution, and it is estimated that more people are now harmed by human trafficking worldwide than have been at any other point in human history. Approximately 80% of the victims are women and girls, and 50% are younger than age 18.
Whereas many victims trafficked into the United States do not speak or understand English and are unable to communicate to seek rescue. Under U.S. law, any person under 18 involved in the commercial sex industry is considered a human trafficking victim, and victims include U.S. citizens and documented immigrants. And whereas we recognize that New Jersey is a prime location for human trafficking because it is a major national and international transportation corridor and a culturally diverse state, and whereas human trafficking is modern-day slavery, a practice that is in direct opposition to the fundamental principles of liberty and human rights upon which our nation was founded, and whereas on February 1, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln signed the 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution. Once ratified, it officially outlawed slavery and involuntary servitude except as punishment for a crime. And whereas, although the federal government and the state of New Jersey have enacted laws to prosecute human traffickers and protect the victims of human trafficking, traffickers use techniques to keep their victims enslaved that severely limit self-reporting and that require broad public awareness of human trafficking issues for enforcement and prevention to occur. And whereas the New Jersey State Constitution declares that all persons are by nature free and independent and have certain natural and unalienable rights, and whereas the people and the state of New Jersey, regardless of political persuasion, creed, race, or national origin, stand together with the national and global community to protect the fundamental freedoms and rights of all persons, to fight the proliferation of human trafficking in all of its forms, and to assist survivors of modern-day slavery. And whereas the Borough of Washington stands committed to protecting human rights and individual freedom by eliminating human trafficking. Whereas the Borough of Washington is resolved to support the goals and ideals of observing a National Day of Human Trafficking Awareness on January 11th of each year and to support all efforts by individuals, businesses, organizations, and governing bodies to raise awareness of and opposition to human trafficking. Whereas the Borough commends the work of the New Jersey Coalition Against Human Trafficking, Benedictine Academy, and for its statewide efforts to end human trafficking through education, advocacy, and assistance to survivors and to increase coordination and visibility of New Jersey's commitment to end human trafficking.
Now, therefore, I, Mayor Scott McDonald, do hereby proclaim January 11th of each year as Human Trafficking Awareness Day in the Borough of Washington to raise awareness about the signs and consequences of human trafficking, to promote opposition to human trafficking in all its forms, and to encourage support for the survivors of human trafficking throughout the state of New Jersey and across the world to put an end to this criminal activity and restore freedom and dignity to its survivors. Presented this 27th day of January, 2014.
You should mention that the President and the Governor have already declared January 11th.
Well, I understand you want to speak, so.
Yes.
Please.
Okay, however you want to do it. Do that a little bit for you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Jones, and I'm a member of the Warren Hills Human Rights Club. I would like to thank the Town of Washington for recognizing the serious matter of human trafficking. Most citizens do not realize like many problems like this exist just outside our front doors. As many of you know, human trafficking is in the spotlight this month. President Obama proclaimed January National Slavery and Human Trafficking Month. Furthermore, the Super Bowl, which will take place in New Jersey next week, has historically been a magnet for human trafficking. Millions of dollars will go into the pockets of modern-day slave traders just for the Super Bowl. The State Department estimates that human traffickers earn $10 billion annually in the United States. There is more human slavery today than at any other time in human history. Many citizens overlook this problem, which is why on behalf of the Warren Hills Human Rights Club, I'd like to extend a great deal of gratitude for choosing to support our mission to stop these terrible acts. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Gilbert Andwati, and I come from Kenya. I just arrived in the United States 2 months ago. This is my second month in the United States of America. So when I came, I joined the Human Rights Club in Warren Hills because I, as a person, I can say I don't like the way human trafficking is going on. Because as a myself, I can say, me and my family, we are a victim of human trafficking, because I have 2 siblings who are stuck up to now, as we are talking, they are stuck in the Middle East, specifically in Lebanon. My sisters, when they are going to Lebanon, when their paperwork was being processed, we were very happy because we knew that an opportunity has come, because we knew that somebody somewhere felt our pain and whatever we were going through at the moment. So we were happy that they were going to Lebanon. They were given a chance to go to Lebanon, and as they were going to Lebanon, they were given promises that they are going to be given good salary, they are going to be given good accommodation, their health coverage is going to be taken care of by their employers. But the moment my siblings reached in Lebanon, the first thing that happened to them is that their passports were taken away from them and all the documentations that they possessed. So that's a very good sign and an indication to show that that is a type of human trafficking, because in the definition of human trafficking is not just by force. It's also by fraud or deception. So they are just deceived into this because somebody saw their vulnerability on improving their living standards. So they were taken out of the country, and we are very happy that something good has happened in our family. But we didn't know it was just something that is going to hurt us. My sisters live. When they reached Lebanon, they were separated. One was taken in another place, and another one was taken to another place. They live 15 miles away from each other, but for the first six months they lived in Lebanon, they didn't know that. They didn't even know where they are, because they are deprived the opportunity of communication. They are deprived the opportunity of seeing out. They didn't even go outside, because they are being locked in the houses. They didn't have the chance to communicate, and the little chance that they had to communicate is during at night when their employers was asleep, so they used to call. So when we try to find information from them, we were not able, because they don't know where they are, first thing. They are not together. They cannot help one another, because one is far from another one. So the information that we used to get from them was very little, because they didn't know anything. It is just previously, let me say, like an year now, that they could be able to say where they are, because that's the time that they get chance to move around and know the town where they live. But they're still being deprived the human rights. They work for 18 hours without rest, from morning up to evening without rest. And the time they get rest, like one of my sisters, sleeps in the basement with animals. Because I'm sorry for this. This is something which is very painful. And a society, we are supposed, because I believe in a society, we are family. Because in Africa, where I come from, we believe to live in unity. So as a society, I really ask, we really try to make this thing work, so that we can really help people around the society to fight this human trafficking issue. Because it is not something to enjoy. I can tell you, my sisters, when they call, they always cry from the other end. Mom, how can you help us? We are not happy where we are, but we cannot do anything to help them, because one thing, they are far from us. We cannot reach them. We cannot do anything to help them. So it reached a point when we tried as a family to move so that we can help them. We tried to follow up the agencies that took them to Lebanon. And we were told that we have to raise $17,000 to bring them back home, something which we cannot afford. In our family, my dad is the only person who works in our family, and he is the one who supports us. So this $17,000, he cannot afford to bring it so that we can bring them back home. And because if you convert $17,000 into Kenyan currency, that's 1.4 million, which we also, people who live back in Kenya, the other family that is marrying in Kenya, cannot be able to afford that. So we've just been hoping that maybe one day someone is going to listen to this choir and help them come back home. And when I'm talking about this specifically, I don't talk because of my family only. I talk because there's a very huge number of people in Kenya who are not able to bring their children back. Just the same way we are not able as a family, because some kids are being taken to Lebanon with this thing they call employment. So they believe that when they go to Lebanon, they are going to bring an improvement to their family. But when they reach Lebanon, they cannot come back home, because most of them who are taken to Lebanon, either they don't have a parent or they have one. And their parents are people who are not that able. So when the kids reach there, I cannot come back home, because every documentation is taken from them. They cannot do anything about that. Their parents are not able to raise money to bring their kids back home. So when I heard that there's going to be a public meeting today, I was very happy, because I knew I'm going to share something important with people. And as a society, I wanted this day to be a day that I just had, which has been marked the 11th of January. I want it when people stand out to fight this human trafficking. We stand out and stand firm with our lifting our heads high, saying that we don't want it anymore in our society. Saying that when we go out for the campaign about it, we stand out not as an individual, but as a family, because we are a family. And I'm not talking about the world community only. I want us to stand out in a good group, a big number, so that we can fight this, because it is not sweet. If somebody today says that maybe my family, because I've not experienced it, I'm not going to get hurt, you don't know. It can knock at your door anytime. Good can knock at your door, and bad can also knock at your door anytime. So let us stand out as a family and as a community to fight the human trafficking. Thank you very much.
I would just like to say a few quick words but on behalf of the Warren Hills Regional High School Human Rights Club, I just wanted to thank the council and mayor and manager and everybody in here and the town for their support of the proclamation to make January 11th the National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, and ensuring human trafficking will not be tolerated in our community, and also for hope for the entire world that we're taking a stand here for something so terrible like this. But and also, not only does it happen with the Super Bowl arriving, it's happening 365 days a year. So we would just like to thank you guys for everything that you do, and specifically for this proclamation. So, thank you.
At this point, it's for the council appearance for Recreation Commission. Mr. Scioni.
I have handouts for everybody. Okay, I'm not going to bore you with the whole presentation, so let's get that out of the way first. I just want to go over some highlights. First, I want to thank everybody, the borough council, the mayor, the borough manager, DPW, everybody, the volunteers. They've all helped make recreation successful, and I don't think that could be understated, because this is a team effort. A quick note before we get too deep into it. Our winter programs have over 200 kids enrolled so far, which is really impressive when you consider the amount of lack of space that we have. And we really have to beg, borrow, and steal to accommodate all of the sports programs. And it's funny because they're growing, and it's going to become a problem next year, so we're going to have to figure out better ways to accommodate, which is a good problem to have, I guess, if you're doing well. Some accomplishments on page 3. You know, we talked about the pool being successful this year, and that was a monumental effort. Part of that process was re-caulking, scraping, and painting the floor, patching it of the pool. And again, last year, council graciously awarded us funds to purchase that paint. We upgraded our snack bar, as you already know. We replaced the unsafe fencing in the baseball grandstand, so that now patrons can be safe when they watch an event. We introduced a new pool program, Aquatumba, which we had over 120 participants in the pool this year, and we hope to grow that program next year. Because it was the first year, we kind of, you know, did a lessons learned at the end of the year. And really, we're a little hamstrung with that only because of the schedules that the Zumba instructors can keep. So that's a little bit limiting on our side, but it was still very well received by the patrons. The 5K race was back. It was a huge success. I think from a profit perspective, we didn't make as much as we made last year because our expenses went up because of the police that we needed. But overall, we actually got more donations this year than we did last year. Our Sharks swim team membership doubled from last year, so that was a huge increase. Our little Hoopsters basketball clinic is very successful at Taylor Street School. It's a program for kids from kindergarten to second grade. We received a new AED device thanks to New Jersey American Water, and we put that at the pool for extra safety. And we still are in the process of doing all of our state and national background checks. And the Rec Commission implemented a Rec Director review form process to be completed each year by the commissioners. On page 6, we have some misses. Not always great news. We did try to attend the summer lacrosse clinic, but we had to cancel due to lack of enrollment. We will consider doing this again because we do think that lacrosse is a growing program in the area. Once again, we were not able to field the field hockey team. Some of our older age soccer teams needed to be canceled due to insufficient enrollment. I think part of that is because Warren United came in and they started taking some of our older kids away for travel. So, you know, I actually had a sit-down meeting with the soccer coaches from Warren Hills, and we worked, sort of a agreement to better communicate between us and them. So if there's any kids that don't make the travel team, they point them in our direction and sort of give them the actual application. I won't go through the numbers. You can do that yourselves, and if you have any questions, please call me or email me. Essentially, everything was profitable, self-sustaining. Numbers, for the most part, have gone up. Swim lessons is a good example. 174 kids last year. I mean, the swim lesson program that we have is huge, and I've already started discussions with the swim coordinator for this year, and she has some really good ideas to implement, which should make it even better. Hockey, we're back up to about 60 kids, and hopefully that's going to continue to grow. Chris is the new rec commissioner. He's done an excellent job pumping that up. And some unexpected expenditures. Last year, we had to pay about $600 for two new probes that were inadequately winterized by CFM. Efforts to reach out to them to rectify were unsuccessful. So these are part of the process that we went through to take it on ourselves. We also took the expense of replacing all of the faucets in the bathroom, grandstand bathrooms, because a lot of them ran for 10 to 20 minutes sometimes. They were just old. The problem is these faucets are not your run-of-the-mill faucets. They're very expensive. I don't remember how much, but they were over $100 a piece, probably close to $200 a piece.
They shut off automatically?
Yeah, they're the ones you hit, and then they sort of come up
sort
and stop.
Slowly shut off, yeah.
Some of them, I before we replaced them, they would go for 20 minutes, and it was just awful. So, you know, Dave, I know you're always mentioning the water, and those are, well, it's the little things that add up after time. You know, you do enough of those little things, and you're sort of back to where you want to be. Capital maintenance for 2014, I'll be before you again for budget request, but, you know, just a lot of it is security related, some of it is efficiency related, going more green, less waste, safety, and again, security. Some of the security stuff that we're looking to do is to actually repair some of the stuff that had been done previously. Some potential programs for 2014. Again, this is speculation because some of these take a lot of effort, but some of them could be done. The online payments for all programs, we're in the process of having discussions with CFO now to implement that. I think just that as an option would probably potentially could increase across the board enrollments 10%. Because you have a lot of people that don't have time and they forget and they've missed the deadlines, and with online registration they could do it in 2 minutes. So I think that's what?
And do it at 3 a.m.
Do it at 3 a.m. They're not restricted to getting out of, they don't have to go out of the house, they don't have to waste a stamp, they don't have to do any of those things. But it's going to be a little bit of a process. But again, we're just sort of doing what other towns have done in the past. And I know Washington baseball is going towards that as well, online registrations. A lot of people complain that, you know, why don't we have registration? So now we're hopefully going to get it. Just a real quick thank you to all the donors in 2013, Washington Borough Kiwanis, Washington Borough Rotary, my company, LexisNexis, Sherwin-Williams Paint, Warren Hills Memorial, Warren Liquors, Washington Business Improvement District, Rossi Chevrolet, New Jersey American Water, Washington One Stop, Kevin Schout from Veolia Water, ShopRite of Washington, and John Dorsch, Electric. Any questions?
Just two things. one, for the maintenance, maybe you could work with Christine at Phillips, because the grant for the hot air dryers, you know, to become between the sustainable group and the clean communities, maybe there's a grant out there that they could get.
No. For hand dryers in the bathroom.
Right, so they, you know.
And would that be just for the physical dryer or the installment of that dryer as well?
Well, I don't know. I don't even know if you can get the money, but it's something to consider. There might be money there for you,
yeah.
Is my point. So look into that.
What's the cost per unit?
I want to say off the top of my head, around $200 for the unit. We're going to do eight. We're going to do two in the men's, two in the women's. Two in the grandstand men's, two in the grandstand women's.
I mean, to start off, if there's money, might only go do one.
Maybe. I mean, we'll, the electrician's already going to be there, so it's one of those economies of scale things.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes it's better to bite the bullet and just get it all done.
Yeah, I mean, if you could get the installation donated by an electrician, then that would help to too, so.
Yeah, I don't think that's.
I think those units are more expensive than that, though.
Oh, there's hand dryers out there, I saw that were $1,200 a piece.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy, so we're actually not looking.
I think $500 number is probably more in line.
And the, one other thing, just for you to think about, if you have any suggestions, you know, come back, there might be a clause in the new nuisance ordinance regarding graffiti and vandalism. I don't know if it's gonna pass, but it's new language in there. If you had any thoughts or ideas on how we can reduce it at the pavilion and the park and.
Part of it is the ask for budget, is to upgrade the lighting in that area still. We also, part of it is, some graffiti proofing measures, coatings put on so that graffiti can just wash right off. We actually had a soccer party at the end of the season. The graffiti was so offensive and so bad. I mean, swastikas, just amazing things that were just left there. That I actually had to take athletic tape, pre-tape the foam, and wrap the columns before the kids came over.
Yeah.
Just to have pizza. Because it was just.
Right,
impossible.
Well, we had the senior thing in
yeah.
the summer on the
yeah,
pavilion,
exactly.
And it, the cement, and I know, like,
yeah.
I know it had
yeah.
just recently been cleaned.
So, I mean,
so.
Part of that is removing the tables that Christine and DPW were able to facilitate, putting them away in the pool so they have no place to congregate. Some of it is the inadequate lighting because there's only the single center light that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame because you want the kids to have a place to congregate. You want them to, but.
As long as they respect it.
As long as they respect
yeah.
it. So, yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
I mean,
just a thought. If you have any.
Richard, I guess some questions on this. I'm kind of intrigued by these new programs, like the Touch a Truck. I mean, just go through a couple of these, you know, because.
Touch a Truck is something I stumbled upon. They actually do it in some other communities, like Westfield area. Essentially, from my understanding, I've never been to one, but the feedback I've gotten, and I've spoken to people who have set them up, and in some cases you can have vendors there as well selling food and stuff like that, so you could do other things besides that. But essentially what it is like you would have like a fire truck, you'd have like a bucket loader, you'd have the people that run them, and they'd all be stations, you know, stationed out. So the kids basically get to touch the truck, you know, maybe climb it, maybe do little things, and maybe have the person speak to it a little bit.
This so it's like a show and tell for the
sort of,
kids.
You know, and the kids really, really, you know, love it, you know, from, they really get a kick out of it, you know, it could be anything from a cherry picker to a backhoe, bobcat, to a giant fire truck, or whatever, you know, it's whatever you could scrounge together as far as getting donors to come out and, you know, and it would probably be like a free event. Just, you know, and it's one of those things that we would probably, if we were going to do it, we'd probably try to do it in such a time where there's not a lot going on. You know, some of the kids are antsy, they want something to do, the weather's still favorable, maybe fall, come out and have like, you know, a touch a truck thing like that. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely thought of it and wanted to bring it up and maybe do it, but it's, again, it's bandwidth, it's time. You know?
Well, it sounds like a good idea and it's no cost.
I haven't figured out.
You can sell refreshments anyway.
The microbrew festival, or the, you know, we talked about an Oktoberfest, we talked about a wine festival, kids' pumpkin painting contest, stuff like that, music in the park. There used to be music in the park, and there's no reason why we can't go back to that in the summer, like Wednesdays in the summer, you know, whatever. We even still have the portable stands, which weigh so much. We actually, me and Brian Hammond actually took them out of the coach's room. I was like, what? It was the heaviest thing I've ever lifted in my life. I was like, so, I mean, they're definitely sturdy, but they're beasts. But, you know, there's no reason why any of these things can't be implemented with time and people, you know, to do it. You know, ideas are great, but it's the implementation of those ideas which we find sometimes lacking
mm-hmm.
because there's just not enough time. And people
yeah,
to do
so
it.
You should reach out to the high school because a lot of
yeah.
the students are looking for volunteer hours. Like, reach out to the Key Club.
Yeah. Well, we did that for the volunteer days, and we never got any kind of response. You know, so yeah, again, the idea is there, and a
yeah,
lot of us
yeah.
just don't have the bandwidth.
Well, usually, others in May, though, so that's cool.
Well, yeah, you know, but it's just in general,
yeah.
We did get one year. We did get a couple of high school kids mm-hmm. to help out, which was great.
So you ask every year and see what happens.
Exactly.
Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Girl Scouts, we trust me, I hit them all up, but
yeah.
I'm getting tired.
Yeah, I can't believe you're still here.
Mr. Higgins, you
have
a question
for you, Vic.
Sure, sure.
You mentioned the state and national background checks. How's that going?
it's done well. You know, it's no one's had a problem with the process that I've heard. It's a very seamless process once they fill out the paperwork. Obviously, we're incurring the cost of running those checks, but because it's an online system, it's done in minutes, usually. You know, they say something like a 24-hour turnaround, but I think when I first did it, I tested it on myself, and it was like 2 minutes I got a report.
Have we had a problem with any applicants?
The problem we run into...
I mean, as far as...
Anybody
back
denied?
Back
have we gotten flagged?
Yes,
we've had a few flags, and we've instructed the liaison to instruct the person, and they okay. You know, the gap that we run into is pending charges. Pending charges sometimes they won't necessarily come
sure.
up. But I actually worked it out with the local police department, so I'll periodically send them. Or the rec director would send them a list of the approved coaches, and they just give the yay or nay, you know, if anything's out there that we don't know about. So
and that has to be done through each sport?
Mm-hmm. Or it depends. We have a lot of coaches like myself that'll coach multiple sports.
Right. How long were they good for?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. How much did it cost you last year? Rough estimate.
If I had a guess, I'd say we probably screened 60, 70 coaches, so 70 times 8, $560, something like that.
How many have you done so far this year?
I can't tell you. But some of them, again, we have a list, and it's good for 2 years, so a lot of those coaches come back. So I don't know how many new coaches, brand new coaches that we've checked. I couldn't tell you. Probably a dozen. I don't know. It's a lot of it is sport-specific, because if the kids... parents age out, then
right.
You know, somebody else takes over. And it depends on the sport, too. But yeah, I mean, overall it's been fantastic. We've really had no problems at all. Anything else? You guys always know where to reach me if you have questions.
Sure do.
You need to scream at me for anything.
Thank you.
I'd just like to say one thing. I think that you're doing a fine job, actually, in recreation. I see a big improvement over what was, you know, done, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on. So I think that the money that, you know, we're voting to help you guys out is being put to good use. I'd like to see some of these new ideas getting done as well.
So
a lot of these are no-cost programs, too. So I think that's great.
Yeah, it's more to see time and effort on your
end.
But thank you. Do you want to go and see the exec now?
I don't think we'll be doing it in exec from what I understand.
Oh, you want to do it all open?
I think so.
Okay.
We'll refer to the council every once in a while.
Because it was a personnel issue that... Technically.
It's not technically.
Not technically, because...
Well, you're not discussing a specific person.
That's true.
And you're discussing money.
Okay. No, that's fine.
We should do it in open.
Is there a search on for the new director?
Not yet, because we need to... I guess we could start, right?
Yeah.
So, essentially, our current recreation director resigned to take a full-time position in another municipality. So, good for her. It was... You know, we enjoyed working for recreation. We enjoyed having it. I also want to say and point out specifically that Christine did a fantastic job with that relationship. It wasn't always harmonious like any other relationship, but Christine was very professional in all of her dealings with me and with the rec director. So that needs to be said. I guess part of the reason I'm here is because we need, as a municipality, we need to make this position a full-time position for a variety of reasons. One, we are the only municipality that I, in my research, found that has a pool that doesn't have a full-time rec director. And I also did some more research about salaries. And if I could find it, I know I have it. Just to give you an idea, now some of these are not 100% because they're bigger municipalities or whatever. Oh my goodness, don't tell me of all the things I didn't have. Oh, here it is, okay. Westfield, Bruce Kaufman is the rec director, full time. $86,600.
How much?
$86,600.
Yeah, but Westfield.
Well, no. And I prefaced that.
Hold on.
But again, it's, you got to realize that it's small, it's bigger than us and wealthier than us, but, you know, for the most part, rec directors, rec programs and pools are the same. They may not be, they may be bigger or smaller, but essentially the machinations that go behind the scenes are relatively the same. Phillipsburg, Dawn Slifer, 86.6 also. To give you a more of an accurate estimate as far as scale, Hackettstown only has a pool person, a pool director, for lack of a better term. Excuse me. His primary responsibility is just the pool and running the pool, $48,000 plus benefits. Verona, another example of a small town with a pool, $93,488. Hmm. West Caldwell, $74,695. So what I would ask for today is a lot less than everybody's getting, basically. But I know that it's a starting point that we have to start somewhere, because I'll be honest, Melissa put in a lot of time over and above what she was getting paid for initially. I, myself, probably averaged 20 hours a week volunteer time alone on helping her. I was in the pool scraping and painting on my own time.
Victor, just from what you said, okay, that Hackettstown has probably the ideal situation, because the way I see it, if you have a specific person just dealing with the pool only, okay, and that person could be almost full-time, doesn't even have to be full-time, and certainly seasonal, the other regular recreation director would only concentrate then on all the other sports, and everything would be much more efficient, in my view. So I know, I also believe that way you could also save money. So maybe you should kick that around.
Well, the idea of that is the pool takes up most of the summer, where there's not a lot of sports that are competing with that. Mm-hmm. So if...
But there are some.
Not really, because baseball runs until the beginning of summer and that end.
Okay.
Soccer doesn't start until fall, late August. So by then the pool is pretty much... So
you're saying like June to September?
For what, the pool?
The pool.
No, I would probably say mid-April through September, because you're still... You're doing pool prep. You know, you have to drain the pool, you have to clean the pool, you have to do the maintenance on the pumps, the filters, all of those things, get the grandstand, the snack bar ready, cleaned, certified, all of those things. It's just not a part-time job. And I, you know, I honestly can't do this anymore where I replace rec directors every year because of better opportunities or the candidates that we're getting in the past. You know, I mean, a lot of it is, who's going to take this job? You know, even the worst candidate is going to work more than 20 hours a week during pool season. And then you're really going to get what you pay for, because when the pool loses tons of money, because you want to, you know, say, well, it's a part-time job, you're going to eat it on the back end, because that money that the pool lost, the taxpayers pick up.
But we had a part-time position now, and we made...
Well, not really, because that person was paid part-time but worked full-time. So... You know, again, it's one of those, it's somewhat semantics, and no one's going to do that. And, like, on top of what the extra hours that she was putting in all summer, I was putting in all summer, plus the two full-time seasonal workers. So,
But I think that you were maybe possibly sidetracked with the pool problems, and if you had a separate individual working as a position just only on the pool and concentrating on that, the efforts there would be scaled up higher, as well as the whole direction of the sports program would, you know, the actual recreation director would be able to spend and devote more time to upcoming planning or whatever else. So I think, really, still...
Well, let me finish where he's going with this.
Well, okay.
And not to say that your points aren't valid, but I don't think he's quite finished what he's got to say there yet.
Yeah, I mean, going back and looking in the records, you know, we had a seasonal pool director at one point that was paid $32,000 from spring through December. So that, if you broke it down for the whole year, that's almost full-time right there. And then back in 2006, there was an ask for a full-time director position of a salary of $65,000. That was denied, obviously. But, you know, again, you do the numbers, and if you were talking about multiple things on top of the pool that were competing with the pool at the same time, you could say, well, you know, hire a pool manager or director or whatever, and then hire a rec director. You'd still have to hire two people, you know. And
so what is it you're asking for?
Well, I'm asking for, I have an emergency meeting that I set up for Wednesday to go out for a job posting for a full-time rec director position, salaried with benefits, $45,000 per year. The most they can take is 3 comp days per year if they work above and beyond. So none of this accrued comp days and overtime and all this other stuff that we have to worry about on the back end. There would be a full employment agreement that they would have to sign. Their seasonal workers would only be allowed 2 comp days.
I would just not discuss that.
Not even the
medical? No, not the comp. No.
Okay.
That could be addressed in any employment agreement at a later date if council.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, $45,000 with benefits and restrictions on what they get beyond that. So basically, there would be a lot of checks and balances and controls, and office hours would be mandated as well.
What are we talking about for the cost of benefits?
The most expensive benefit today.
Well, they'd have to fall under our benefit plan.
Well, they do. The most expensive is just about $20,000, and that's for family.
Yeah, and they could always opt out if they want to, but we have to offer.
Right.
Have to offer it.
Have to anticipate.
All right. Another question. How many hours a week are we talking? 35 or 40?
40.
40. All right.
Do you know on the local towns like Phillipsburg and Hackettstown, is it the youth organizations that pay for their person, or does it come out of their
taxpayers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You sure?
About 95% sure.
Yeah. I'm not going to give an answer tonight. I'd like to research this one. So I know you wanted an answer for Wednesday, but had I got, unfortunately with the weather, we didn't meet last week. So.
Yeah, we have a rec director technically till January 31st, and I wanted to go out to advertise February 1st, so I can advertise for the full month. We're going to have to absorb those costs through the advertising, and I was going to probably advertise on LehighValley.com, NJ.com, possibly New Jersey League of Municipalities as well. The main purpose of the meeting on Wednesday for REC is to agree on the job description.
I have a question, and that's the other part of my question. Who would be the employer, the borough or the REC commission? Or is it one and the same?
It's one and the same.
Okay, since we're civil service, do we have to go through civil service for this position?
Director is not a civil service position.
Because it's a management position.
Sure?
I better check that. I don't believe so, because it is a municipal department head. And in the past, they have not been. But I will need to double check that.
Just,
that's a good question.
One little thing, just a little background. Prior to Melissa was here just over a year. Prior to her, it was Dez. He was here a little over a year. Prior to him, it was Rich, I think, Fallon, right? And then prior to him, it was Gary, who quit 2 weeks before the pool opened because he had had enough.
Right.
Prior to him, it was Bob Griffin,
right,
who was here less than a year. So my point is, there's a track record here, and we can't keep doing this and consistently be sustainable. It's just impossible. It's just no way. And when I think about how many hours and time I've put in to make this possible.
Dick, I have another question.
Sure.
Since you're asking for a full-time person, actually doubling the amount of time,
mm-hmm.
Have you projected any increase in revenues?
Well, you could project. I mean, there's things that a full-time director gives you is that during the slower months, like the winter months, couple of things that the rec director position would morph into. Right now we have a lot of the volunteers, a lot of the rec commissioners doing a lot of the work, most of the work. They're setting up the schedules, they're going to the coaches' meetings, they're actually going to the league meetings, they're taking the notes back, they're setting up the school times, they're doing all of this stuff and working somewhat with the rec director and the rec secretary. So basically, the new rec director position in full time is going to take all of that. Because one, it lessens the amount of communication that has to happen, sort of like starts here, goes to this person. No. The rec director now goes to the league meetings, gets the information, transfers it back to the commission. So at least we have relevant information that's real time. The rec director goes for more grant opportunities, historical grants or winning clean community type grants, those types of grants. That person, him or her, can write those grants, whereas now they don't have time because there's just not enough hours in the day. They also go to the park and do things like routine maintenance, graffiti removal, trash removal, things that aren't getting done necessarily these days.
Is that in the job descriptions?
Well, yes and no. Is it spelled out specifically? No, because I don't want to have, well, that's, you know, if I get too creative and make everything, then it'll be like, well, that's not my job description. But if I, right now the general statement is like supports all recreation activities, you know, stuff like that. I don't know exactly what it says, but it's sort of umbrellas. So that the interpretation, and there's also something in the bylaws or the ordinance, I don't remember which, that says, you know, the rec director acts at the priority list that's given by the commission at the early part of the year. So we could always just say, okay, or reorg meeting, you know, here's the league meetings you're going to have to go to and attend and come back to us. And I just had a conversation with the Shark Swim team, and they also feel that it has to be a full-time position, that it can't be done by volunteers and a part-timer, because the volunteers already are doing too much. I have I have rec commissioners that quit because they just are, there's too much, you know? So something's got to change where I want to make the rec liaison, the rec commissioner liaison, that what true liaison to what they should be. Basically, you interact with the parents and the sport. You don't do all the heavy lifting that you're doing now, because people are going to get burnt out, and that's not fair to them. So,
Victor, what's the salary? I'm sorry, that Melissa was getting.
Yearly, 22 something an hour. So by 20 hours, I think it was something like that.
It was
in the low 20s.
It was probably around
low to mid 20s.
25 probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
For 20 hours a week.
Let's put 24. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be here asking if I didn't absolutely think it had to happen. Seriously. Because we can't keep replacing rec directors every year and still expect to have sustainable growth. It's just too complicated to reintroduce that person and educate them and teach them. You know, God forbid I get hit by a bus tomorrow.
I don't know. If you're asking for an answer tonight, I can't give you one.
Right.
Because of the budget.
Yeah, tomorrow we're having a budget workshop too, okay. So
Rob's going to get to that.
But we have a lot of things that are cropping up this year all of a sudden.
Let me tell you this. I can cancel my meeting Wednesday. Because if I don't have an answer tonight, which is fine, it doesn't make sense for me to have a meeting to discuss a job description that I can't execute on.
Yeah.
I think also, excuse me for interrupting, that Christine should find out whether or not it is a social service position.
We have a regular scheduled rec meeting February 12th. Can we at least have a definitive yay or nay by February 12th? Because the longer we wait, we start getting into that pool season. Because I don't know how many candidates I'm going to get. I might get 100. I might get 2.
We have what? A meeting in between?
Get a lot, but not qualify.
In between, right?
For
the 12th. How many council meetings are there? Only one.
Well, can I just make a suggestion? I also want to comment on Janine's statement about a budget meeting. the state did push back the deadline for Faulkner Act municipalities to receive their budget to February 7th. Given the circumstances that we're under with the boiler, Natasha and I feel like we need to go back and redo the budget, give it to you on the 7th, and go from there. So I would suggest that if council is okay, let me look into the civil service question for Vic. Let me plug in these numbers with Natasha and take a look at where we are, bottom line, on the 7th, present you with a budget, and if you can hold out to the second meeting in February, maybe.
I don't know that we have one, but I can arrange to have a second meeting. That's not a problem.
I think she needs our second meeting.
Right, our second meeting.
Oh.
That way, council will have some time to digest the information.
That's fine. I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
So you're saying by March meeting you would have an answer then?
Hopefully.
If council is agreeable, I would say by the second meeting.
If I get somebody qualified, that's not a problem, because then it's the problem. The concern I have is ramping them up to on the finer points of the pool. You know, the pumps and all that other stuff. That stuff, that's not something you just pick up right away. But we'll have to make it work. We'll work around your schedule as much as we can.
February.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're saying you'd have an answer by the 18th, because then I could
schedule. If council is agreed.
Yeah.
Natasha and I can present a budget on the 7th.
Yes or no, we can have it by the
18th. Yeah.
Are we going to have our budget workshop then? Tomorrow's canceled.
No, we're canceling that.
So the budget workshop's the 7th?
I was actually just going to ask council what they would like to do.
Let's hold off on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Figure that out.
So if you give me an answer, yay or nay, on the 18th, I could schedule an emergency meeting probably for the following week, and then we could, I mean, again, the job description is the job description. It's not going to, we're probably going to have a 15-minute meeting to go through it,
right,
and then post it. You know, I've already have all the contact information for posting it, so it's just a matter of authorizing the funds to be expended for the one-month posting, and then we can be good to go. I can help you screen the resumes, you know. They're going to be, I would hope that there's a lot. But just because we've seen, when we did the borough manager search, you should have seen some of the resumes we got.
Yeah.
So just because you get volume doesn't mean,
doesn't mean you're qualified.
Right. No.
Okay, anything else, Mr. Cioni?
I don't think so. I think I've beaten a dead horse. I did my best.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
At this point, I'll open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests. Just come up forward and give your name and address for the record.
My name is Bruce Smith. I reside at 115 East Portion Ave right now. I am the founder of Health Force Preston, New Jersey. I am proud to say I accepted the proclamation at the Warren County Freeholders meeting in May, and I announced I was going to open up an organization. I just didn't know where yet. So finally, we moved in this past week, January 15th it was, and we're going to do a lot there for the community. I like the recreation director.
He should be the director.
You guys,
he has a job that makes much more than that.
I'm sorry to take up time, but I do need a little bit of your time. Today, what I'm stating is we're also in the process of working on getting a taxi cab business here in town. I've been with the manager, and we're working on starting a taxi cab in town for the people. We're going to be affordable and community related. I already spoke to a couple of police officers, and what I told them is if you have somebody that can't afford the taxi, you know, it may cost $10, hey, let us know. You have to be the one to tell us so we don't get taken advantage of from the public, but we will do it for $5 if the police officers or EMTs deem it necessary, instead of having your police department transport. We will help out with the community. There are so many things to say, and it's getting late night. I'm just getting out of the hospital from the other night. Lastly, you're going to see a lot of me. In November, I lived in Fellsburg, and I did run for councilman. I didn't have much time because everything happened so quick on my decision. My friends and I passed out 500 brochures. Out of that 500 brochures, without going to the meetings much like I'm going to be doing now, I came in with 260 votes. To you, that may not sound like a lot, but this is my first meeting. Sorry, guys, you're stuck with me. You're going to be seeing a lot of me, and I will be bringing up my agendas. I'm not going to do that tonight. One of them is recycle. I will be bringing up one agenda at a time, and we need to work on it. We cannot sit back. I'm sorry to say, we cannot sit back on recycling. We have to act on the agendas I have. I will go all the way to Trenton. I will. And if I have to, I'll sit at Governor Christie's office, be polite, and go to Congress. I will. You know, I'm going to do the movement. I have the time. Some of you may have full-time jobs, Barbara. I do not. I am lucky. Unfortunately, I have my own time now. So I'm going to be able to do the footwork that people cannot do. With that, thank you for your time. Guys, God bless, and I like what I hear about the rec. Last comment on that, you think about it, if you don't hire somebody for that rec position, you're going to get a turnaround every year, and what kind of quality person is that going to be? You know, what's going to happen with the quality? If you have a person that's stayed for that, and they stay around, they're going to get better and better and better. And we're talking about money. Money is going to be coming in then. Money is going to be cutting down. Graffiti, the teens, they need something to do. One last idea I have. I'm an author and writer, and I've written a book about my smoking addiction, how it killed almost, how it did kill me, and I came back to life. I am suing Big Tobacco.
You're talking about almost killed you, and then that comes.
There goes your free time right there.
Sorry about that.
I am suing Big Tobacco, and I'm announcing that now. I'm going to win the case. When I win, money's going to come to Washington. My idea is, this will be the last thing, I promise. Anybody been to the Bridgewater Mall? Bridgewater Mall has a nice movie theater. They have a nice big arcade. They have a nice skating, not ice skating, but skateboard thing. ShopRite is vacant, sitting up there doing nothing, the old ShopRite. There may be something in the works, I don't know. But there's buildings around here, we're saying, and they're taking up space, and you're not getting tax money from it. You get a business in like that will help out. That will help out with taxes. That will help out with the community, and that will help out with the youth. What we need to do is work with the youth. Where we're at today, our youth is going to be projected later on. So thank you for your time. I'm sorry to be so bold, but
what's your name again?
Bruce Dolan Smith. I'm author of two books. They're both on Amazon. And I would ask, when I come before you and I have suggestions, I have ideas, I want to do fundraisers, I'm asking for your support, not with money, but with ideas and yays, not nays. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Thank you. Anyone else?
My name is Scott Davis. I live on 103 Lenape Trail, right here in the borough. I'm a 12-year resident. My wife back there, 27 years. We're just wondering what's going on with the snow removal in the town, why we're starting to get tickets.
Why you're getting tickets? Because the ordinance states there is no parking on the street. When I declare, or the chief of police, or the OEM declares a snow emergency.
Okay, that's understandable. Now, Saturday, we had a little bit of snow. We had about 2 inches of snow. The storm ended at 5 o'clock. DPW come up the street. They won't touch it. 2-3 inches on the road. They just salt it. I went out Saturday night. I came back about 11 o'clock, and I got a ticket on my pickup truck. So I called Waldrick, Sergeant Waldrick. Very nice man to talk to on the phone. I was on the phone for about 20 minutes with him. He says, unless you declare an emergency, he says, 3 inches, you shouldn't get a ticket.
I did not declare a snow emergency on Saturday.
Right. So he says, you really shouldn't have gotten a ticket. So I says, okay. He says, the best thing after a 20-minute conversation with him on the phone, he says, why don't you call the officer who gave you a ticket? See what he happens to say. Well, he's got a big attitude. And he says, look, if you get an inch, 2 inches, if you get a dusting, you will get a parking ticket. For a dusting?
Well, that seems like that's a communication issue that I have with the police department that I will have to work out.
Well, I'm a little worried about it right now, because when I walked inside the building tonight, I looked up in the sky, saw a couple stars. So we might be clear tonight, but if I happen to go to sleep like every one of us is going to do when we go home to get up for work the next day, and we get a clipper come through, I'm going to get up in the morning, do 1 inch on my vehicle, and a ticket again on my vehicle. Now, I understand that there's a snow emergency, you must move. Which brings me to the past 4 years. I have had a letter sent to my home. I filled out the form. I gave him a copy of my driver's license. I am hired by the borough here to remove
snow. I know that you came in the office today to see me, and I did not get a chance to speak to you, but
that's okay.
The call-out schedule is up to the supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
So the road department supervisor determines who gets called out for snow.
Right.
Sometimes it's not necessary for us to bring in seasonals, especially mm-hmm. when it's just a salt.
Right, but I'm thinking if there's a big storm and I run into the plow drivers, they're like, I don't know why they're not calling you. you got 7 years experience of plowing 78. I'm like, that's not my call.
You're right, it's not. It is the road supers. And are we allowed to discuss this now? This is probably something that should be discussed between myself and Mr. Davis privately, personnel.
If there is any comment regarding performance of any borough employee, I would say that is the case.
Okay. But that doesn't bother me as far as not being called in to plow the snow. What's bothering me is right now, if we get a dusting.
Who, can I ask who wrote the ticket on Saturday? Do you remember the officer's name?
I can get it for you.
That would be great.
But he told me, he said, look, I won't get off the street. It's common sense if you have a storm coming in, whether I plow for them or not, I'm going to open up the street and let the guys come through. They've got 103, myself, and all the neighbors up on Lenape Trail on that cul-de-sac. It's not a main thoroughway. It's a dead-end street. When the snow starts to drop and you get flurries, everybody's scrambling, parking on their front lawns. They get off the street because the sheriff is coming to town. And they're destroying the front lawns. When you go up there, it's starting to look like the projects where everybody parked all over the lawn. There is some kind of tobacco farm down south. I'm like, we all have to find a place to park in a snow emergency. But 1, 2, 3 inches, they only come up the road, they drop the salt, and they melt the snow, and you never see the truck again. They do a good job when they do come up. I have no problem with the road department. I have a problem with this police department telling me, Sergeant Waldrick told me, you got to fight the ticket. You shouldn't have gotten the ticket. Christine did not declare a snow emergency. He said, you should have never got it. But when I talked to the other guys, he says, oh, you're going to get more.
Well, I prefer that you come in and see me or call me tomorrow mm-hmm. in the afternoon, and if you can, and give me the name of the officer. Because it's obviously a communication issue we have, so we'll have to...
Needs a little retraining.
Right, yeah. We need to discuss it. I need to discuss it
right.
with him.
But now I went downstairs, because now I'm starting to panic. I'm like, when we get a dusting tonight? I'm in bed like everybody else. I got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Do you have a dock light?
It's got two vehicles in it. Now, the truck that I have is a pickup. I work for the Orca Hunterdon County. We're a nonprofit organization. It's the only place I have to park is on the street. Unless it's a snow emergency, I will scramble and borrow a neighbor's driveway like I asked Amanda Grimmett. If I can steal your driveway, I'll clean it for you.
I don't believe it's supposed to snow tonight. So I think you're okay.
If it does, I'm in trouble. I got to go find another ticket now. 34 years of driving, I never even had a parking ticket. And now I got a parking ticket, I got to fight it.
Well, I would ask that you just give me some time tomorrow to discuss it with the officer.
Yeah, I feel as though that maybe Lenape Trail is being targeted only. I don't think he went around.
Take my word for it, you were not targeted. There were over 100 tickets written in the borough the last time mm-hmm. I declared the snow emergency. So... you were not targeted.
I hope not. But again, you know, I appreciate your time to listen. It's just that I'm worried to death now. I don't know what's going to happen tonight, and I can't stand guard at my window wondering if we're going to get a snow flurry, because here comes Wyatt Earp with his ticket book, and I'm going to start getting nailed again with tickets. So if there's a miscommunication, it also happened downstairs with Barbara. She says, yes, if there is a dusting or 1 inch, you got to be off that street. Mm-hmm. So now I'm getting three stories.
Right. Well, one, no one else besides myself, the chief of police, and our OEM can declare a snow emergency.
Right.
So those are the three people that you would need to speak to, no okay. other staff member.
And that's just so you're aware, mm-hmm. when the snow emergency is declared by someone other than the manager needs to be informed that that was done. She said on Saturday there was no snow emergency declared.
Right. And that's what I told the officer. He says, it's in the ordinance. I said, when did this become this? He says, 2008. I said, have we had snow since 2008? Because I've been parked on the street in different storms. I never had a ticket.
We're not going to solve it here tonight. So.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is have Christine speak with the chief, and we'll speak with the officer and work from there.
Okay, so unless you declare an emergency that you have to be off the street,
you should be okay.
That's correct.
That's what I thought I should be until he showed up.
And that's your weapon in court, if you have to go fight the cop.
We won't go that far.
Sorry. No, hopefully you won't go.
Well, Sergeant Waldrick just asked me to go to, it says right on, you must appear in court, so I'm like,
I think you do. Once the ticket's written, you'll have to,
It's written.
This past Saturday, you probably do have to go to court, but previous snowstorms, because they wrote so many tickets, Judge Palmer made it a $50 fine for everyone, and you can pay them online, so it's not a mandatory court appearance, mm-hmm. but in your case...
Mandatory if you're going to plead not guilty.
Exactly.
I'm going to plead not guilty, even Sergeant Waldrick said, plead not guilty, dismiss it and get rid of it.
Right.
It wasn't declared a snow emergency.
Right. I'll discuss that with the chief of police tomorrow.
Yeah, between now and tomorrow. I'm going to shake my boots and wonder if we're going to get something come through. So I would appreciate it. I mean, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but we've got to find out what's going on.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Any motion closing?
Got one more.
I'm Harry Lake. I just moved here last year, 60 Lana P Trail, and tell him he could park in my driveway for one.
I got down at the other end from him, though, right?
Again, like he said, the plow, they just salted around, which, it was only the dusting. But I would expect at least one path, like they always do. There's a huge pothole, right on Ramapo Way when you come in. On the exit side, side of the podium here. I don't know if that's something you guys would look into, or if you could bring that up to the
manager. Will have the road department supervisor take a look at it.
Tell you that they've just ordered cold patch. They will not be cold patching tomorrow because the wind chills will be so bad. Mm-hmm. But as the week progresses and we get warmer, they will be cold patching. And yes, they are aware.
And I understand we're still going to need salt and everything too. So. And my mother, before coming here, she said the actual street sign, Lenape Trail, was taken off. I don't know, maybe they can look into that.
I can look into that. I haven't heard that before.
While on the subject, by the way.
I want to talk to you while we're on the subject, too.
Broad Street, that's a massive development.
I recall.
Pothole, okay.
There are potholes all over town.
There are.
The nature of the beast from the time of the year.
It's not like terror.
We need a variation of
water. It's under
it,
it freezes, and
really
it's
bad. But I there are a couple of recent snowstorms. I don't know if it was Saturday. But I must admit, it was snowing for hours. And when I came home, last Tuesday when I came home from work, I don't know, are they on a schedule, but... people are trying to get home from work. And I was not pleased at all with the... plowing in my development at all. It was there for hours before they did. I can understand in the middle of the night why bother until early in the morning. No one's out driving. But during the day, and even on Saturday, it was a few inches. It's like nothing was done.
Did not plow Saturday. There was not enough snow to plow. They salted it.
They salted it for about 5 minutes, and that was it. I salted it once.
But there was a few snowstorms. So that... Again, I don't know the schedule, it was tough coming getting home. You couldn't go up there. To get up where I live, you got to drive up hills. It's not flat, and it was very difficult. So, as a citizen, I'm making it known that it wasn't. I don't know if they're not touching. Even when they do plow, there's still this much on the ground. I don't know if it's because they don't want the plow to ruin the street that's already ruined so bad. They don't want to,
It's probably skids, like that.
I'll speak to the road super, and I will get back to you on that.
Anything else, Mr. Lee?
I do pest control during the week, and I would volunteer, Sundays or something, if you guys are open down at the pool. I don't know if you need a number or phone number or something. I can Even maybe my wife would, if she's not working at Joel Jones, so.
Citizen involvement form, you can fill that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Did you guys have that, or?
I'll give your name and address to Mr. Cioni and see if he can get in touch with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I guess I'll make the motion now to close the audience portion.
Second.
Assuming there's nobody else.
Right.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Reports.
Make a motion to receive and file the reports as presented.
Second.
Okay, is there any discussion on any of the reports? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Committee reports. I see we have the sewer committee up. Mr. Higgins, what would you like to tell us this evening?
Okay, we met on January 17th, Councilman Thompson, Councilman Jones, the engineer, Chris Jepson from Van Cleef, Kevin Schout from Veolia, and Mrs. Temple and her husband attended. They came up with another new design for the problem over there on South Prospect Street. This is supposed to be the fix-all to fix-all, this one. As you know, the pipe, the drain pipe that runs down to the siphon, if you're going down south, Prospect, runs at an angle like this to the siphon. What they want to do is, starting back on the back corner of Gardner's Court, Marble Street, over there, put in a new line that runs down this way towards the siphon, and South Prospect going this way. They want to run a new line, South Prospect going this way, while keeping the one that's going to the siphon to alleviate the flow that runs in from that area back there into the siphon. They're actually redirecting a whole bunch of intake. So we met, and they seem to think that this, they have the elevation, they're checking on some drainage pipes, whether or not how, if we can get over them, we have to go under them, what it is to get the pitch. I was supposed to receive an email, because where it stops now is they want to go up towards 57 on South Prospect Street, and they need to make a left. They're talking about going through somebody's yard and getting an easement to go to a manhole that's already established in the back. Well, actually, they would have to put a new manhole in back there. Or, as we discussed, going up to the intersection where there is an established manhole already and going through the back parking lot of the Quick Mart there and hooking up over there. Either way, it's going to be about the same amount of footage for pipe. I never got the email to know if we can go up to that next manhole. Supposedly, the email that I did receive saying that there would be information available for tonight's meeting, but there isn't, and it's because they're still trying to figure out whether or not they can do it. That's the information that I received. Now, the sewer, the Veolia, is said that they can get that done for us by digging it up with just an amendment to the contract, because there was something in the contract that said that we can amend the contract based on, you have the contract there? A couple key words here, and Counselor, you're here. So this is part of our collection system, and I told them that we would check on this. They say wastewater treatment system. So, you know, if the wastewater treatment system needed to be modified, a wastewater treatment modification, we could just contract with them and we wouldn't have to go out for bid to have this job done.
Are you asking me if that is accurate?
Well, it says it's in their contract.
I'd have to look at the whole thing,
okay.
To be honest, Dave. I can't, in isolation, I'd have to look at all the definitions and everything else.
If that's the case, then all we would have to do is modify the contract one more time to allow them to do that. And they could do it, and it would be done relatively quicker than we as a council or government could get it. And that's what we're waiting for.
It would make sense for them to do it.
Yeah.
Well, well, yeah, see, wherever, whatever property that mine is supposed to go through, we're going to need an easement.
Well, but you said the other option is to go up to the intersection and use behind the...
Can't go up to the intersection.
No, behind the Quick Mart.
Yes, oh, that intersection, yes.
Why can't we use that one instead?
Because he has, because there's already a stormwater collection system there with, what do you say, a 46-inch pipe?
Pipe or something, yeah.
There's a pipe in there that he doesn't know if the pitch would be right to make it still flow back.
So there's elevation issues, right?
Or go under it or over it, or if we could do any of that. Otherwise, we're still, we talked about the fact that we're going to need an easement through somebody's property. And determine, you know, based on what they determined if we could go, what property it is that we're going to have to go through.
Yeah, and that's so, they don't allow it, so.
Obviously, you still have a lot of these unanswered questions, so you got to wait for it.
Well, listen, there was some information that was supposed to be passed. We're looking at starting in March to get this taken care of. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm starting to get a little irritated. And here's the reason for that. We were told pumps, E1 pumps. We were told this. We were told that. Now we're told this.
And this is questionable.
Yeah. Well, this is supposed to be the fix-all.
That's
fix-all.
If you get the easement.
You get the easements and the...
Yeah.
The inclination is right for the 46-inch drink.
This is going to get taken care of, and it's going to get taken care of this year, one way or another. That's all I have to report. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, old business, our nuisance ordinance.
Is the state working on a nuisance ordinance?
Yes.
Is there legislation for a nuisance ordinance?
Yes.
Has that legislation been passed?
Last I looked, it had not.
I'm not aware that it has.
Okay, can I make a suggestion then? And it's only a suggestion. Can we continue with the nuisance ordinance after the state legislation has been passed? Because if we're doing something that the state is not doing, or, you know, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. I have to go back and change it.
Why would we have to go back and change it? That's a presumption. I mean, you know, there's nothing. Who knows what they're going to do?
Well, if the state changes their ordinance,
they may not even.
So with the codification, you just want to keep our current nuisance ordinance the way it is until
the state passes there. I mean, yeah.
They may not pass one.
Pardon me?
They may not pass one.
But what do they do? What if they do?
Well, what if they don't? I mean, in the meantime, we have problems with graffiti, we have problems with jake breaking, we have problems with the vacant buildings. There's a lot of different issues that we already discussed. Most of these things, we're almost finished with it. Literally,
okay, well,
I mean, yeah.
My suggestion, Mr. Mayor, would be to wait until the state passes their legislation.
They're not, probably not even
I don't know how everybody else feels about that.
I'd have to agree.
Rich, what do you think?
I feel the same way, because what's the sense of writing it, then you have to regrade it again, because the state's got theirs.
Yeah, the only thing we could do is model it after what the state has now, but that is dependent on them not altering it between now and passage.
First of all, does anybody here know that there is an ordinance in process?
There is legislation.
Okay. Where is it at?
It's in...
Is it in the Assembly? Is it in the Senate? What's the bill number?
I believe it's in the Assembly.
Okay, I mean, there's all these questions. I mean, obviously, they may not even pass it. If they don't, how are we going to address the problems that exist now? We've had serious problems, serious issues with littering, serious issues with jake breaking. We've had over a year people have complained about these issues, and we've been, you know, trying to get things taken care of to try to help these people out. And we have these issues that need to get solved right away. We shouldn't just sit back and on our laurels and say, oh, well, you know what, let's just wait to see what the state does. I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, point taken.
Okay. Gina, what do you think?
I'm in favor of waiting, too. I was prepared to say, I think at the very least tonight I was going to make the suggestion that we take the vacant aspect of that, all the information we got last time, that should be a separate ordinance, take that out of the nuisance ordinance. And I was going to suggest that we see if our assemblymen and senators would support that vacant building, the legislation that's pending, because none of them are sponsors.
Right.
So I, I'd like to know if they support that legislation, if they would be sponsored. So I was going to suggest that we at least remove that out of the nuisance ordinance, but I mean, it kind of seems like we're already...
Which is an alternate solution. I think that's much more sensible to do, take the one portion out, because these other issues really should be dealt with now. We shouldn't wait.
And what do you think, Ethel?
How long do you think? Why can't we wait?
Because who knows if there's even going to be a nuisance ordinance passed
by the state. If it doesn't, then you bring it back. I mean, there's nothing wrong with waiting
How long? What? Wait another 6 months? Have these people, you know, that
we
have
waited
problems?
We waited thus far, right?
We've been trying to get this dealt with, though. I mean, there's issues that our citizens have complained about that we promised that we would look into and try to, you know, repair.
But why revamp the wheel twice when we can do it once?
Well, that's a big presumption that you're going to have something to look at even from the state. So.
I mean, I do agree with Councilman Torres that there are definitely some issues or pieces of that nuisance ordinance that does need to be addressed. So I would at least say, if by November, maybe we could make at least an amendment to our current nuisance ordinance, not a whole revamping and rewriting, even just to insert the Jake breaking aspect of it. I mean, I would say let's give the legislators at least a year, almost a year.
Well, they're bad. I mean, you know, but
to pass their nuisance ordinance. And if not, I do think our current nuisance ordinance, the way it is, does need some amendments.
There's no doubt about it.
But, you know, so I'm willing to wait, but I'm not willing to wait indefinitely. Although a year from now, I won't be here, so.
Okay, should we authorize the manager to write letters to our legislators to ask on the where they are with these ordinances?
Sure.
Yes.
That's fine. That's
and
right.
If they would
support it?
Yeah, ask if they would sponsor the A-4031 and...
That's the vacant building stuff?
Yeah.
Right, so that's the assembly side, and S-2921. The assembly side passed out of the assembly house, and they made some very good amendments that... I would think if we were going to do, we should do it as well.
You mean out of the committee, or did the assembly pass the whole thing?
The assembly passed it out of the assembly house.
Yeah.
Sure.
The Senate, as far as I just looked, it still is not passed yet.
But
so it didn't go forward, didn't get to cover 50.
Assemblyman DeMayo and Peterson would sponsor it, and Senator Doherty.
Or at least support
like
it.
If they support it.
Okay. Anything else for this?
No, no.
New business. We have two resolutions for redemption of a tax certificate, 23 and 24, 2014.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on these? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Connie?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Glibus?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
We also have resolution 25, 2014 on your desk this evening. To get the heat squared away in the building here with a new furnace.
I'll make a motion we pass the resolution to fix the heat.
I second it.
Is there any discussion on that one?
This is going to come out of the 14 budget, right?
Correct.
And it's emergency appropriation.
Right. Well, it's actually an emergency purchase, not an emergency appropriation. And this is why Natasha and I need to go back and take a look at the budget and see where we're pulling this money from.
And you already have a contract for this?
Yes, it's an emergency purchase.
And how long would it take you to get this done?
The boilers will be delivered tomorrow, and I'm planning on having the install done Friday and Saturday, as long as the weather is favorable. Don't want to turn the heat off completely in the building in weather that we're going to have tomorrow. So I have to just kind of monitor the weather report and coordinate with the contractor. It's supposed to get warmer, yeah. Warm enough.
Christine, I have another question. Is the $55,092, is that hopefully the end all of this? I mean, this is completely going to be finished this month. There's going to be no other
furnace.
Like right,
you have two brand new
units,
high efficient natural gas boilers that will run this building, and if one fails, the other one will make up the difference. It includes all the help me, Rudy, if I get this wrong, all the piping, all the in, all the everything, all the install, thermostats,
is there a warranty?
Everything.
And if the building will be zoned.
Okay.
As it was when it was originally built, but the zone was down to one now.
Okay, so that's a problem.
Yeah,
so that's good.
I have
that's
no
going
idea
to be fixed.
Why that is.
Now, is there warranty?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, how long is that for?
I will get that number for you.
Thank you.
At least 3 years, but I will find
okay.
out
and
for sure.
And listen to the utilities, because you're going more efficient, you should get some rebates.
That's...
Yeah, I've
been
telling her that.
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking into that with Sustainable Jersey, but the problem with Sustainable Jersey is that we're not a certified...
No, I mean from the utility company itself. When
oh,
you get
they're
a new,
giving
like,
out
you
rebates?
You get a new efficient,
yeah.
you know...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
thank you.
So is this not to exceed?
This is the price.
That's the exact price.
It's not to exceed.
That's the installed, the boiler.
Everything.
Boilers, thermostats, hook the pipes up.
Everything.
New stickers.
Wire nuts.
Paint.
Wire nuts and everything.
Okay. Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Gleba?
Yes.
Conry?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Present.
Mm-hmm. Jones? Sorry, you throw
yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Our vouchers.
Make a motion we pay the bills.
Second.
Is there any discussion on anything on the bill list?
Yeah, I have a question. Well, I'm looking at the old one, but I know it's in. What's on our desk is replacing what was in our packet?
Correct.
Okay. In the original one, it's on page 3, under the public works, the purchase of the emergency snowblower.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't we have a resolution for that emergency purchase? And why isn't it coming out of, like, the snow trust account?
It will come out of the snow trust account. Natasha and I are working on putting all the purchases that we had to make prior to the temporary budget being adopted. We have not completed that yet.
Right. But again, because this was, we needed a resolution for this emergency purchase, why wasn't there a resolution?
Because Natasha and I haven't had time to put it together yet. There's more than one purchase. And the boiler took priority for this meeting.
But why are we paying this if we haven't done the resolution yet?
We can do the resolution afterwards. If you want to pull it, we'll pull it. But we didn't have time to do it.
What else is coming down the pipe that you said there's a bunch of?
There was a couple parts that were needed prior to January 7th meeting and a repair of one DPW truck.
What do you think is better, Judy? Do we do the resolution first or approval?
I'm sorry.
Snowblower for here, the building?
I mean, you can do the resolution
it's
after the fact that it'd be better to have it concurrent, but you can go do it the way that Christine is suggesting.
Christine,
excuse me, my voice is going.
Christine, I have a question. Why do we have even an amended? Because we just got this. I didn't
read
this.
Yeah. There were some payments to the state that we had to make, so since we pushed our meeting back, we added them. We also added escrow payment to Suburban for Washington Square. Everything
just
else
point
outside
those out as we
is
go
escrow.
Or whatever, so I know which ones are, because I have no idea. I would have to compare one to one, each one. So can you just go through it real quick with us?
I have to tell you, Rob, everything escrow and anything animal control payment to the state has been added.
Okay.
Because they were not on the previous bill list.
Okay.
My other question is the contractual services for the Borough Hall outside holiday lights. That should have been taken from the council salary.
It's really a wash. I had the money in administration. It's all going back into surplus, so.
Fund balance.
I really can't, yeah, that's right, fund balance. It's better that it comes out where it did come out of, because that would be a rather...
Well, he was making a donation.
Right, well, he did donate his salary back to the borough. but I don't want to have to explain to the auditor why I paid for holiday lights out of your salary line item.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes more sense to pay it out of
it's still going back
administration. His salary still came back to us, regardless of where we paid it from.
Right.
That makes sense?
She paid it, so I paid her back. That's all.
Right.
Basically.
Okay.
It works the same. It just looks different on paper.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Anything else on the vouchers?
Yes. Hold on. Page 6. That's it. It's all the new page.
Is that the old one or the new one? Page 6 of the old new, the one that
it
was
would
tonight?
Be the old one. It would be page 7 of the new one. And I've already talked to Christine about this, just so everybody's aware. A $260 water bill at the park.
$260 water bill
at the park. And that was from November 5th to December 5th. And then we had one from December 6th to January 6th for $96. No water should be off.
It should be.
And everything out there should be
winterized.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Got a leak someplace?
I don't know. Happens every year.
Did she contact your work?
I have to pull the invoice and see it, but we can certainly pull that bill until we have more information. It's up to council.
Well, listen, if we got the water bill, we got to pay it.
All right.
It's just
we'll pay it,
we
and
have
we'll discuss
there.
It, right. Because they could always rebate it. It's like, right,
yeah.
Coming.
Or did I stand with fee?
Okay. Anything else? Roll call, please.
Leva?
Yes.
Jones?
Yes.
Torres?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Connery?
Yes.
Hagan?
Yes.
Thompson?
Anything but fire company squad, yes.
Okay, what do we have on your recap?
I will look into a grant with Sustainable Journey, Sustainable Jersey for the hand dryers at the park. I do know there is a $2,000 grant that we are eligible for. However, I'm not quite sure if that would include hand dryers.
Yes.
But I will look into that.
Or the clean communities, because you're not having all the waste, the garbage of
right.
The towers.
I will
just
look into whether or not the rec director full-time position is a civil service position.
Then the impact on the budget.
Right, that's a separate topic. Natasha and I do need to redo the budget. We will be putting the boiler expense in there. We'll also put these numbers in there, and then we'll have a budget presented to council on February 7th, which is the new statutory date. Mm-hmm. So I'll need to know from council when you want to schedule our first hearing.
Are we going to have a workshop beforehand?
No, we're redoing the budget.
I can't attend a workshop unless I review the information. I'm not going to meet before having the information.
We need to redo it. We'll look into the Lenape Trail street sign. I will discuss the plowing with the road chief super. I will call the chief of police about snow emergencies and parking tickets. Reach out to our assemblyman and senator regarding a 4031 and S2921. See if they would be in support of that. Look into the fire bills or the water bills, sorry. And that's all I have.
Okay. That brings us to council remarks. I'm going to start off tonight. I had the pleasure of attending a fireman's dinner for the retiring chief. Mr. Higgins and Mr. Jones were there, and I got a surprise. Chief Camerata called me up to the podium to give me a gift for the municipal building.
Mm.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a brand new AED for the municipal building.
Thanks, Chief.
Yes.
Thanks, Chief.
And I would like to make a motion that the manager draft a letter thanking the Chief Camerata and the fire department for the donation and have every member of council sign that letter before it's presented to them.
Second
that.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? See, I woke you up back there, aren't you?
Well, I'm sorry. You can go back to sleep.
But thank you again. I put it all together. It's in the bag. Everything is operating. I've tested it. We're all good.
You tested it?
Yes. There's an automatic test that's involved in it.
Where's it going to be?
One out there.
We're going to stick it out there?
I'll see where that big hole is.
It goes right in that.
It goes in that.
Okay.
You just have to figure out how to turn off that alarm when you open the box. And that was all that I had. Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, everybody, I hope everybody got the information about the volunteer firemen, and do we have to cover them for medical?
Yes.
Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, did the Chief Camerata get a copy of this?
No, I did not.
Can we send him a letter of that?
Sure.
We're not getting medical pressure. No. All right. I don't know how many of the people have gotten phone calls or emails, texts, or whatever about the information New Jersey unveils. It's top 30 towns with the heaviest tax burden. And
I sent it to you.
It's amazing that, it is amazing that, actually, I receive phone calls before that it comes as we prepare for the budget. So just a word to the council, keep that in mind. The borough of Washington is number 29 in the state.
And also be aware that that is based on data from 2008. So
right.
It really isn't very current.
It's also based on income,
right.
Which is...
Okay, well, we either reduce income or raise everybody's income.
Well, you have no...
Reduce taxes or...
You're saying you want to give council a raise?
You know what I'm talking about.
I know.
That's all I know.
Mr. Jones?
Nothing, sir.
Mr. Thompson?
Yes, there's a slight problem that we have out back of the building called parking. There's no room for people to come to the municipality to do their business or the employees to park out back. Teachers, parents, they all park out back, they walk through the school. There's something that can be done.
It's a free municipal parking lot. There are no restrictions on it. The only thing we could do is take that free parking away. You know, I know the post office employees use it also.
Right.
Some of the residents in the area use it. You know, we've had this discussion a couple of times over the years, probably before you came.
Okay. But is there anything you can do to designate for employees or municipality business?
Can we designate more spaces? I mean, I do it.
You
every
got
time
fire company signs.
I can't park either. Pay my taxes. You
got fire company signs parked out there that are for fire company parking only, and people park right into it. So there's no place for the volunteers to park unless they park in the entrance or the exit on the side of the building. Then some people are complaining they can't get through.
So this happens during when schools.
It's
getting out and coming in?
Well, 8 o'clock in the morning until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, every day.
I mean, even today, I was here during the lunch hour, so you know people aren't doing their municipal business, and there was no spot.
Right.
So it was
probably when the kindergarten was letting out?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what time they let out, but it is definitely a you know.
Yeah, I was here around noontime, and I noticed that the three
air handlers, yeah.
Well, I didn't even take those into consideration.
I'm just saying, is there any way we can designate at least municipality parking or business parking?
Yeah, maybe we should look at it in November when we look at the rest of the nuisance problems in the borough.
That's totally uncalled for.
Okay.
You know that, right?
No.
That's totally uncalled for.
Not really.
Well, you had employees down there that are parking on Church Street to come to work here.
I've had to park in Midtown lot to come to work, so I agree. I mean,
you know, Rich, you can designate all you want, but if there isn't any enforcement on it, it's not going to do any good.
Okay,
like I said, you got signs out there now for
right.
Firemen, and people still park there. So, you know, put up all the signs you want, but if nobody's going to go around and say, "Hey, you can't do this," they're going to do it.
I'm just asking, is there something can be done?
Well, maybe when the emergency squad has their new building. Some of that could be a parking area for the municipality also.
Sure.
Now, that might not be for a year.
I don't know
where they are in the process of their new building. I know they obviously have not broken ground yet.
Yeah.
But those type of things can usually go up in 3 to 4 months without too much trouble.
I think they're looking to sell the building.
Who owns it? Isn't the fire department's involved with it, I think.
I don't know what the...
I think they... Yeah, they own it.
They own it.
We even have the person or ask them to give us a portion.
Okay. I thought they were on municipal property. Okay, whatever. All right, anything else, Mr. Thompson?
That's it.
Mrs. Connery?
A quick question. The Paramount building that's being renovated, are those windows in ordinance? The windows that they... The picture that we saw is different from what the picture, the windows that are up there.
What, the glass windows you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
To the best of my knowledge, they are, but I can't speak definitively to that.
Okay. Because that was brought up at the, in our meeting.
The last planning board?
Last planning board, right.
Okay.
So,
that would probably be
those
windows. That's a zoning question.
Zoning question.
The engineer should have been able to answer that.
Okay.
Either the engineer, Susan Grohl, I think I heard talk about that, and I think they wanted Susan Grohl to comment on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mr. Torres.
Well, the only remark I would have is to look forward to a great year, you know, coming up. As I had said earlier, I think that the recreation department did a great job this year, and I'd like to see some more improvements and some of these problems taken care of this year.
Just a couple of things. I'm going to piggyback off of that. What is going on with Paramount, like the inside of that building, so that it's rentable?
The bid
is people that would rent the space and...
The last time I spoke to their vice president of operations, Richard Dunn, he said that they were working on the apartments upstairs.
Mm.
This is probably 3 weeks ago now. I am due to give him another call because I've been checking in with him every 2 to 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
just for him to give me a little update.
Yeah, if you could maybe make a council meeting if you had a status on what's happening, you know, with
okay.
that. I mean, it definitely looks a lot better on the outside and it's safer, but again, are they really going to do everything that they stood here and said that they were going to do? Christine, if you could reach out to Morris. I mean, I know I've reached out to you a couple of times, but with the email, it's a serious problem for me because the county, the Division of Aging, I don't get any of their emails. I've contacted the league, Bill Dressel, his staff, they've emailed me information. I do not receive it. The high school tried to email me the proclamation information. I could not receive it. I don't know. I get so much junk mail from Waste Expo or whoever. But
yeah, I've had the same
God
problem.
God only knows what important stuff I'm not getting. I mean, I only know because they had to find me some other way to reach out to me. But it's actually embarrassing. I have to call this Bill Dressel up and say, you know, because after 3 times I don't get something, I'm reaching out to them saying, listen, why aren't you, you know, contacting me? And so now it's embarrassing for me to say, I never got it. And so if you could just have Morris make this a priority. I mean,
I've,
like I said, I've asked a few times now, but now I've had it.
Filtering is touching the important stuff, but not the
junk.
Christine, that reminds me. Did you do a manager's report for this Friday?
I was actually on vacation.
Oh, so there was none, because I didn't receive it. I was going to say that. It's another email that didn't come. But
I had not been getting some of the library board emails for a few months there. You said they sent me the proclamation.
Right. Yep.
Also, I never got anything for it.
Hmm. I don't know
yeah,
if
I know
it's
I mentioned that to
they're
you that
sending
some
an attachment.
Right, yeah. And
ago.
I have talked to Mark about it, and we discussed the fan filtering. He was going to make some adjustments, but I'll discuss it with him again.
All right, please.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Just
please tell him I don't need any male enhancement drugs or anything like that keeps coming through.
Okay.
And just for the record and for the public, that the senior services, we are meeting the fourth Thursday of every month. You know, it's open to the public for any seniors that have concerns or suggestions or we didn't have anyone come last time. So we'll give it a few months and see if, you know, if we have an interest. Otherwise, I'm not going to come. So,
is it on
you.
The board then?
I sent them a mailer, but it's on the, I mean, it was supposed to be on the website. We sent an email blast.
All right, anything else for the evening?
I would accept a motion to adjourn.
We have executive session.
I'm sorry?
We have.
Executive session.
I have one item for that.
Oh, okay.
I'll accept the motion for executive session after a 10-minute break.
Second.
Reason for the executive?
For the purpose of.
Personal issues.
I don't know, Judy, what would you call it?
Is it the.
Personal issue?
Discussion.
Personnel issues, I think.
I think it would. It's under the heading of possible litigation.
Possible litigation. Okay. All right, we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?